sugya by learning the ritva together. He's going to counterpoint a lot of what we've seen. Again, we saw a two-dimensional, a two-variable approach that Mar has to whether or not I can raise the floor, whether or not something I put down becomes considered a chelik of the karka, as opposed to just being metalklim that's lying above it. Did the floor level actually change or not? Is it batel? The Gemara looked at number whether I'm actually doing bittel, or merely I don't plan to move it, or I'm not sure, or maybe even I do plan to move it. That's one variable. Another variable was what sorts of things I'm putting down. Is it soil, which is best? Is it tevin, which is not quite as good, perhaps? Perhaps. Or is it karmuksasos, which is the worst? And so we spent some time the last day or two on specifically on the sheet of Rashi. Rashi has three chidushim in this sukkah, but particularly the sheet of Rashi that the sheer bittul, the period of time that we're looking for is only the period of time of the mitzvah, and that's as good as forever from the point of view of sukkahs. Now beyond 7 days doesn't count. So if it's going to be bittul there for the course of sukkahs, for Rashi, that's good enough. We saw the Ran expanded that by Tumas Meis, and in terms of being Mevatel and Ohel, would say the period of time that we're looking at, the horizon of time, is called Mancha Meis Sham. We saw the Rush discuss the fact that in a Hilcha Shabbos context, like you're trying to Mevatel the Mechitz between two different Chatzeros, the time frame that we're looking at is over the course of Shabbos. If you're going to be batel for the course of Shabbos, that's as good as forever, according to Rashi and the many Rishonim who accept Shitas Rashi. But not everyone accepts Shitas Rashi. And let's take a look right now in the Ritva. There are several key paragraphs in the Ritva in our sugya. Let's start on Amud Chavdalad. Hayisa Gavoa Lamalme Esrim. Uvalamatiba karmaksasas, he gives a whole chunk of Gemara. Pirish Rashi, Shabit Loshan, Lachal Shiva Sayyam, Mishal Chag, therefore all 7 days of the Yom Tov, Heinasilifanosukhay Mechag. I don't plan to move it over the course of Yom Tov, El Shahabituhu, Sha'amar Kain Befid, Befeirish. Bittul means, here's the second point, the major point that Rashi made. What's the difference between Bittul and Heinasilifanosu? Those were the first two options of how intensively do you plan, is your plan to leave it there? They say, wow, bittul, even the chacham hold works. If it's einat lefanos, I don't plan to move it. That might only work according to the Tana Reb Yossi. What's the difference? I says bittul is befib. Einat lefanos, shomer kein el shakach hu bedaito. It's a question: did you verbalize or not? So according to the chachamim, if you didn't verbalize it, there's nothing to talk about. No pun intended. If you didn't verbalize it, it doesn't count. But according to Yossi, if you had an intent to leave it there, or if it's off, or if you have no particular intent one way or the other, default, that's good enough. The linera the Ritva says, Dahabitul Legamre Mashma. Well, they point down in footnote 175, one of the words seems to have gotten disjointed. Dahabitul Stama. Legamri mashma liolam. If you just say bittul without specifying bittul for how long, plain default unspecified generic bittul means forever. Ritva says I disagree with Rashi and the Ran and the Rush kavodam and kolam munach, but the Ritva says I would agree with the Reina Chanan and the Ravya. I think if you say bittul, you mean bittul. Bittul of chametz doesn't mean you mevatel for 7 days; it's forever. He doesn't make that point, but he has others. The Gabi Miyot Chalon Shol Havias Hatzuma Beinim Bittul Olamis. He says, take a look in the sugya in the second parak of Bava Basra and parak Lo Yachbar by the sugya of Rukik. You have a window and you're trying to fill up the window so that fill up enough that you won't have a whole tefach by tefach that will allow tuma to go from one room to the other. The Gemara talks about different things you might fill up with, including a Rukik. You had some sort of a baked good. I'm sorry, a pancake. I have warm, very, very warm feelings for that sugya because my second year at Shechter Shir, I learned Bava Basra, first year was Pesachim, and we learned the first three prakim of Bava Basra, more or less, that year in Shir. And I have a very good friend who was in shir with me at the time. He's now a rav of a major minor Orthodox congregation in the United States of America. And he was very makurv at that point, to maybe still is, to the Skver Rebbe. So he had gone to Skver Rebbe that year, Bavavastra year, and at the tish, or in a private meeting, he got shirayim. He got like a little, I'm not sure what it was. It was like a ruggle or a little challah, not really sure. So he didn't want to let go of it because it was a rebbish situation. So he wrapped it and very carefully sealed it as airtight as he could in a plastic bag and kept it in his pocket for a very long time. And he started calling it, after we got to that sugya, he started calling it the Holy Rukkik. And the Holy Rukkik stayed with him for a very, very long time. I think it started to shrivel, which is part of the issue with the Rukkik. The question is it forever going to be that large that's, you know, taking up so much, occluding so much space of what would have been an open window? So, if he was Mavatal the Rukkik, he was not planning to eat it. It was the Halakha Rukkik. So anyhow, but I'm not sure that's what the Amram had in mind in the sugya of Rukkik. But either way, something like that. So nicely he says, look at the sugya of Rukkik. You look at the sugya of Rukkik. And the Rashi there says that you look at the Gemara, you look at Rashi, you get the impression that it's forever. So it says the same should be true for Tumah Ritzutza. Right, one issue in Tumas Ohel is the Rukkik case where I have an Ohel over here, a room over here, a room over there, and there's a chalon, a window in between. Is the Tumah going to go from room one to room two or not? Depends. Do you have a window which is Tefach by Tefach, Poseach Tefach? So that's one issue in Ohalos, is can I close up the window to prevent the spread of Tumah to room number two? The other Ohalos question is a question that we had in our Sugya, which is, can I, not that I'm closing up a chalon, but I'm closing up an ohel. The mace, or the piece of the mace is inside an ohel. Maybe if I crowd out all the empty space in the ohel and I close it up, so it'll become a tumah ritzutza. It'll be a tumah that's not an ohel, and therefore the tumah will not spread to the side, and it will go up and down. He says, Huadin, in Tumah Ritzutza. Ritva argues, just as by Chalon, the Sugya in Bava Basra, the Sugya of Rukkik, seems to indicate that Bitl has to be forever, so too it should be in terms of Tumah Ritzutza, in terms of destroying the Ohel, the Kimit Shekain, Huadin Lemiyatzuka. And then that should be, if you see from the Sugya there, that for both Aholos, applications, Bitl means forever. Is Rashi there says. So then our sugya, Midamin Luhu Adadi Bishmaitin. Our Gemara compared Bitl by the Sukkah to Bitl of the Ohel, the Tumah Ritzutza question. So if A equals B and B equals C, right? So if you see, if by all else you need Bitl forever, so it should be true here as well. And it says, number one, in other words, the Ritva's first point is, look, the Rosh and the Ran had raya's to Rashi, I have a raya to Rabbeinu Chananel. But I have a Gemara, but you had Gemara's in Erevin, it seemed to indicate like Rashi, I have a Gemara in Bavavastra, it seems to indicate like Rabbeinu Chananel. So you may be a little bit deadlocked here. And then, aside from, so that the first argument is the argument, Mi Gemara. Maybe we won't use the purple marker. Maybe something a little less pungent. Right, but the first argument was the argument of Gemara, and the second is the argument Misvara. The first argument was Nochama. So the Ritva's first raya was a raya mi Gemara. I have a source. I have a Gemara that seems to prove data to prove that Bittul means forever. And then whenever you have rayas, you have kashas, they often will categorize according to, is it mi gemara or mi svara? Is it for, I have a mucker, or I have a logical argument? And here we go, vesu, also, that's a really important word, by the way. Vesu, I imagine many of you have come across in the past. Vesulo means a no more. Once in a while you see a paragraph which ends, vesulo, and nothing else to say. So here, we have plenty to say. It's not vesulo, it's vesu. Vesu, and also, kevin delo batalin ala shivas meachag. If you're on Mevatla for the 7 days, Malim Armor came befiv, Olo Armor came. And here the Ritva comes to shift from Akasha mi Gemara on Rashi's point number one to Akasha mi Svara on Rashi's second point. He says, right, Rashi's first point was was...
Rashi's first point was that the Zman that we're looking at is 7 days. Rashi's second point is that the difference between Bittul and Ein Asid Lefanoso was the chiluk between those two things. So Rashi had said the chiluk is Bepeh versus B'machshava.
And the Ritva attacks that, not from a source, so there may be sources to use for that as well. So I mentioned that last week, the whole discussion about, I remember who mentioned to me during Seder, whole discussion about Lishma. The Tosis and the Zvachim Dav Beis and the Rosh and Hilchos Sefer Torah. It's a long discussion about when you have to have Kavanah Lishma, do you have to speak it out or not? Do you have to say, like you go to the matzah bakery. You go to the matzah bakers, they're reminding all the people who are rolling out the dough. In many matzah bakeries, it's elderly Russian women. Can be men, women, whatever it is. Old, young. But they'll be reminding the people working and they're rolling the dough in the different stages. You have to say L'shem Mitzvah Matzah. Right? Or you're tying tzitzis. They remind you, you got to say L'shem Mitzvah Tzitzis. Right? Do you have to say? So that's something that Tosus and Zvachan Dav Beis and the Rosh Hilchos Sefer Torah quotes of Ben Baruch, I believe, the Sefer HaTruma, that's what they argue. That sounds like a similar issue. Ritva says, "What is that so obvious? Ma'alim Amrkein b'fiv al-Amrkein. Why should it matter? I don't understand the Ritva says. Why, not only is that a shita, that's the shita that we paskin like. The shita of the Chachamim. That we differentiate between Bittul versus Ein Asid Lefanoso means we differentiate between Bepeh versus B'machshava. Why? The Baha Lekul name of Dvarim Shebelei Ve'im Dvarim, there is a sugi in Kiddushin, Dvarim Shebelei Ve'im Dvarim. What's that? He says, but that's not relevant here. What's that sugi over there? You took a look, right? In Kiddushin Dafnun, Mestami looked it up. I want to know what's the Dvarim Shebelei Ve'im Dvarim. We had the whole discussion there about, I'm selling my house. I'm moving to Seattle, I'm moving to Zichron Yaakov, wherever it is I'm moving to, so I sell my house. And then it doesn't work out. It ends up I didn't make Aliyah. The Gemara doesn't talk about moving to Seattle, the Gemara talks about making Aliyah. So they're moving from Bavel to Eretz Israel, Givaldik, except it ended up, it never, Lo Estaya Milsa. The Aliyah didn't work. So now where am I going to live? I sold my house. Yeah. Okay, let's get back in. Let's come back. The fellow's making Aliyah, the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, Memtes, Nun. He's making Aliyah, and it ends up not working out. Meanwhile, he sold his house in the old country, in Chutz La'aretz. So does he have the right to say, I want my house back? I says, well, what do you mean? But I only sold you my house, Al-Manas, that making Aliyah. The Gemara says, that's very nice, that's what's called Dvarim Shebelev, Einam Dvarim. Sometimes it is, this is a larger sugya, not for now, sometimes it is so obvious that it's Dvarim Shebelibo Velev Kol Adam. It's so incredibly obvious that was the intention, that it was as good as said. But this Gemara assumes in this case, if I did not mention my Aliyah plans, in the course of, certainly if I did not mention my Aliyah plans, the course of our real estate negotiations, the fact that I was planning to make Aliyah is beautiful. Unfortunately, it didn't really work out. It will not change the quality of the real estate transaction. So there is such an idea, the Ritva says, in other words, Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim, there's a difference between having verbalized. If you would have said, Avrami, I'm selling my house, Almanas, that I succeed in making Aliyah, or even if I would have said, perhaps, I would have said, you should know I'm selling you my house because I'm making Aliyah. Maybe that also would have been sufficient. But Stam, I had it in my head, I sell you my house, and I have my head because I'm making Aliyah, but that doesn't work. He says, yeah, over there, we differentiate between that which is spoken and that which is thought. Ein Omrim Kenel Ben Adarim Hekdeshos Tunoim Kayotzebim. That we only say in particular areas of halacha where verbalization is relevant. There might be a difference between saying a neder versus thinking a neder. Usually there is. Levatei b'sfasayim, the Chumash says. And shvua, the neder only works typically if it was verbalized. The Tanai is something where I'm... The Dvarim Shebelev case, I have a transaction with another person. So if part of it is, I told you I'm selling you my house, I'm thinking because I'm moving, Okay, then we understand we're going to differentiate the spoken time versus the unspoken time will be very different. Avalin shum bitl gilutaita havi kamira. He says, but over here, I'm not negotiating with another person, nor is it a din that inherently requires dibur like neder or shavua. So the Ritva says, I understand the svara. Why should you require bepeh? Now, again, one could argue, and I forget who did, which one of you made the suggestion to me last week? Someone made the suggestion last week. I don't remember who. But it was a very good ha'ara. And maybe it's like a Rashi Taisus L'shitasim. In other words, to say bepeh may align with the shita of Taisus and Zvachim and the Rosh B'Shem Rabbeinu Baruch, that Lishma requires Amira, even though it's not a neder, and it's not a negotiation between different parties. But still, the Tosis and Zvachim also talks about Machshava by Kachim. Dov, that your ha'ar? That was your ha'ar, Shkayach. Very good. So Dov makes an important point. Maybe that could, if now the Ritva's argument Misvara, you say, well, Mechatesi. Okay, so that's a larger sugi what we need to get into. And then the Ritva, on the top of Chafei, puts it all together. And why is he, and you, in case you're wondering, and you should be wondering at this point, unless you already saw the end of the Ritva, he seems like he's mixing and matching. He asks one kasha on Rashi's point number one, and he asks another kasha on Rashi's point number two. Why is he mixing and matching? Because... why? Yeah, I'm not sure if in Lundus they stem from one point, but in Cheshbin they do, because watch what Ritva does next. The Hanachon, debat lehainu shebitlo sham liolam. The Ritva says, first let's talk about point number one. What does bitl mean? Forever. Like Rabbeinu Chananel, like the Rav Yah against Rashi. Bitl means forever. Bein bepiv, bein belibo. But on the other hand, I'm not more machmer than Rashi in issue number one in terms of Zman. They need bitl forever, not just bitl l'shiva. But on the other hand, I'm more makel, I'm broader, more accepting than Rashi in terms of the act of bitl. What is the act of the extent of bitl has to be forever. But the act of bitl need not be, the method, if you will, of bitl, need not be amira, it could even be bedaito. Why is Rashi putting these two together? I'm not sure it's connected in Lamdus, but it is connected in Cheshbon, because he says, Einos Fanoso call Shiva Simei HaChag Linyan Sukkah. What's the difference between Bitl and Einos Fanoso? Forever versus 7 days. In other words, Rashi was very bothered by the Kasha of what's the difference between Bittel, which we spoke of when we started the sugya? What's the difference between Bittel and Einos Fanoso? Aren't they the same thing? I plan to leave it there. Isn't that Bittel? So that becomes what we're calling now Rashi's second chiddush, Rashi's second point. But that needs to push you into one of two things. Either you say Bittel is done differently than Einos Fanoso, or you say Bittel is longer than Einos Fanoso. So by accepting, Rashi says even Bittel is only Shivas Yamin. So once you say that, in Cheshbon, the only option left to differentiate Bittel from Einos Fanoso is to say, oh, this must be done differently. This is Bepehet, and this is Bemachshava. But because Ritva accepts that Bittel is forever, then you don't have to say that you're doing something different when you do Bittel, you just say Bittel is more extensive. That I agree with you, Rashi. Einos Fanoso means for 7 days. Bittel means not that you're mevatel bepeh. Bittel means a longer time frame. Bittel means forever. And Leinyan Tumah calls Mansha Tumah Babayis. And then he says, by the way, he throws in at the end something he could have said at the beginning, another raya. Hayu damrin de kar muksasas avakav de batlinu bittel olamis lo havi miyud. It says, and now I understand the first line of the Gemara. Why is it you cannot be mevatel? It's so absurd to be mevatel. Karmak says, yeah. He says, because, he says, now that's another riot to my first point about this man. He says, I don't think it's so absurd to be mevatel mattress there for 7 days, but to mevatel there forever, that's pretty absurd. Forever? Mamish? You're leaving your blank, you're leaving your mattress outside in your backyard for the rest, until it decays for the next 5-10 years? Really? Let's talk about that. Daito Yitzchak al Adam. Ein derech shum Adam levatel klei tashmisho liolam. No person, almost no person, is going to leave useful kelim outside forever. That's an absurd thing to do. But l'shiva yismeachag efshim levatelim. You know, okay, not the most typical thing to do, but it's conceivable that someone will make a decision. It's good for the course of Sukkot to leave the mattresses outside. But saying to leave the mattresses outside forever after I'm never bringing them inside again, that's taka absurd. So what the ritual just said at the end, it's important to realize sort of structurally, what the ritual just said at the end, he threw in a second raya to his first point. He started by saying that a raya from the sugya, the heiluk irakit, or the not such a heiluk irakit, right, but that sugya in Bava Basra indicates it's forever. It says, our own Gemara. And so Rashi says, oh, there's a problem. Hefz Mammon. Maybe it'll get ruined over the course of 7 days. And Ritva apparently is not so convinced that's what the Gemara had in mind. Ritva says, but Torah forever, that is indeed, it is self-evident. The Gemara is making the point that it's very self-evident. That is so incredibly rare to be Mevatel Karma Ksasas. Ritva says, yeah, that's a riot to me. Because if Bittel is the Olam, that Taka is. On its face. Absurd. Who would do that? 7 days? I don't know. Okay, maybe we'll get ruined. It's not so obvious. Now, just to appreciate what the Ritva just did, two ways of phrasing it. Number one, this is a great example of where two issues are tied together, but I said before, not in Lamdas, not conceptually, but in Cheshbon. I'm not sure that there's a... In principle, there's a lumdisha connection between why you need bittel forever and why bittel does not have to be bepet. I think it's probably two different issues. Bittel forever, he says, bittel means forever. Why should we, the first point in lumdisha was, why should I accept Rashi's funny chiddush? Rashi had his chiddush that we limit the time frame to the mitzvah. No, forever means forever. Right? What's the lumdisha of the second point? He said, who says he needs it? It's not a Erev Halacha that requires Dibur. It's not a Neder. It's not Hektish. Nor is it a negotiation between two people where part was said and part was unsaid. Right? So in Lamdas, these are two unrelated issues. But in Cheshbon, they are related. They're related in Cheshbon, in other words, I have a Kasha, and I need to give a Teretz to the Kasha. And either I'm going to give Teretz A, or I'm going to give Teretz B. So I need to say either A or B. Here the kasha was, in reading the Gemara, what does the Gemara mean by bittel as being any different than enos as a fanoso? Isn't it the same thing? Enos fanoso. I'm planning to leave it there. That's bittel. That kasha, you need to give either teret to A. You have to say something. You can have to either say that bittel is a longer time frame, or you have to say bittel is a more intensive action. Right? So Rashi said it's a more intensive action. It's bepeh. Why did he say that? Because he couldn't say the other teret. He couldn't say that Bittel is a longer time frame because Rashi thinks that even Bittel is only for 7 days. Ritva points out, once you say that Bittel is forever, so then you have another option in terms of Harry Miyashiv Dakasha. I don't have to stand no longer backed into it. And that's why he put the kashas on both of them together. Because ultimately, they're both kashas on the same thing. In other words, for instance, to the extent that Misvara, I don't want to accept that Bittel is Bepeh, that's going to force me to say, well, then Bittel better be forever, because otherwise, what's the difference between Bittel and Asvanoso? Again, it's not a connection in Lumdus. It's not that the two ideas are fundamentally coming from the same concept. It's just that once I have this kasha, I have a kasha, I better give one teretz or the other. So if I knock out one teretz, I'm going to have to say the other teretz, unless you think of a third teretz. Now, this process of elimination. If either the butler did it or the neighbor did it, so if the butler has an alibi, he must have been the neighbor. Right? Not that there's a lumdish connection between the two, but it has to be one or the other. So that's what's going on here in the first piece of Ritva. He's already pointed out to us that those two approaches, those two chidushim of Rashi, are not disconnected. The fact that Rashi says bittel b'shiva is what forces Rashi into saying that bittel means bittel b'peh. Once you accept that bittel is the olam, then I could say bittel is not b'peh. Bittel is also just a machshava. But whereas enos fanoso means for 7 days, bittel means truly forever. Questions? Yeah.
In the end, he says why can't you do enos fanoso with betting?
Yes, he would say that taka called enos fanoso. However, oh, you're saying, you're asking according to Rabbi Yossi. That's your question? According to Rabbi Yossi, Why not say that you're saying, according to Biosi, why not say that karma ksasu should work if it's ain asid lifanoso? Interesting. Yeah, why do you say that? So the same way we're more accepting by afar than by tevin. So you're saying karma ksasas would only be good if you could do bittul. And since bittul is not that, okay, good. So you have sort of like for Biosi, you have sort of like a diagonal on the chart. Tevin afar could even be if it's tam, and tevin is only good enough if it's enos lefanos. So karma ksasas already, because more valuable, I really would only accept it if I could do a real bittul. And real bittul is possible. Okay, yeah.
Would you
maybe
may ask Rashi Shita by saying that the deal
is that bittul is a tenth neder? How is the bittul working for Rashi? Yeah. Would you say it's a type of neder? That's interesting. It's a type of neder. Maybe. Or it could be, again, perhaps. But that would be interesting. They say Mamsha has to have a status of a neder. I mean, it's usur to remove it. It's a bit of a chiddush, maybe. Or alternatively, it may be again tied to. Okay. Yeah. So coming back, so you could say that you could perhaps say it's based on neder, or you could perhaps say again that maybe the Rashi's response to the Kasha Misvara would be like what Dov was saying, which I think is appealing, or require more work on that sugya. That could be that there's a fundamental machlokas here about how broadly does halacha require dibur. And the same way, l'shbay l'shma, you require dibur according to the Ashkenazim. So maybe that's what's going on here too. Or maybe other issues. So let's take a look briefly at two more pieces and then we're going to head off to the Svarim sale. Is a very telling. The Ritva is bothered by on Amud Chav Ches, the Dimas of Hadam Rinon. The Ritva is bothered by a kasha on himself. I'm accepting number one, like Rabbeinu Chanal against Rashi, that Bittul is forever. The Hadam Rinon b'Shmaitin l'gabei Tumah b'Inam Bittul Olam. Here we're saying Bittul is forever. Ayin Bava Basra, we said, Ben Shmona Mamayit Bachalom B'Shabbos, Shehu Asro Talto. You have what's essentially, without getting involved in the details of Nefel, what's essentially Alpidin, a deceased child, right, deceased infant, Muktza, we're going to treat it with covet, maybe we'll cover it, but we're going to leave the deceased in an unusual situation. You have the infant is in this deep window, right? Doesn't seem like a likely scenario. So, but you have essentially a deceased infant, what the halacha considers to be a deceased infant, in that space. So, does that block off the space that would be a chalon to transmit the tumah from room A to room B? The Gemara there says that if it's Shabbos and the baby is muksa. So then it's Mimayit Bachalon. Shu Aslo Taltalam. So he says, wait, one second. That sounds mamish like Rashi. Right, that's Iran. Kozman Shatum Hashem. Afakav Deleke Bittel Yomo. You're not going to leave the mace there forever. After Shabbos is over, you're going to move the mace. You're going to bury the mace. So they're clearly not saying that. It's also to leave it there forever. No one ever wants to leave it there forever. We're going to bury the mace. Shabbos, we can't bury the mace. Shabbos, the mace is muktzah. Okay. But it's clear not. It's only Yomo. So according to Rashi, Gevaldik, that's a beautiful raya, that bittul for the time frame that's relevant is good enough. But what are you going to say according to Ritva? He says, I'll tell you the answer. Time of the beginning, bittul yolom, kadesh lo yimalech litlo. The reason why you need bittul forever, we spoke about the reason for the ritva second shita. What's the reason for the first shita? How come you need bittul forever? Here the ritva says something a bit surprising. I would have thought you need bittul forever because you need bittul forever. Because that's what's called bittul. Because that's what's called bittul. But the ritva here argues otherwise. The ritva here says, Kadesh lo yimalech litlo. It's really, I agree with Rashi, fundamentally only needs to stay there for as long as you need it. I need to make sure, the ritva says here, that I need to make sure that the tumah is not going to spread. So I need to be sure that the window will be occluded, will be stuffed for as long as the tumah is there. Or, sounds like sukkahs, I need to be sure that you're really going to have a kosher sukkah for as long as it's relevant. I'd be very concerned to say we're going to raise the floor, but it's only going to be temporary, and then what's going to happen tomorrow? A guy's going to move back into the sukkah, and now the floor is lower, and he's going to be ochel chutz l'sukkah. Gevalt. So Ritva says, that's why halachic factors are different. Like the rush, but being applied differently. That we recognize the unique value of a halachic factor. He says, if it's a question of personal preference, so then unless you plan to leave it there forever, we're worried you're going to move it too soon. If you say you're going to leave it there for next week, maybe, but if you bedaitcha that sooner or later you're going to move it, we never know. Maybe right now you plan to leave it there for 7 days, but then tomorrow you're going to need it for something, you're going to move it. So Ritva says that, in other words, the reason why we require bittul olam is because if you plan to never move it, we're pretty sure you're not going to move it there for the next 7 days. Because in your mind, you're already, presumably he means, you're already figured out new mattresses. This is off the table in terms of what you're using for sleeping. If you plan to leave there forever. So you've already in your mind probably planned out what you're substituting. You're no longer relying on these items for pillows or mattresses for sleeping. So you have other plans. So that if you mamish plan, this is decommissioned forever, mistami, you're going to leave it there. But if this is decommissioned for the next 7 days, okay, but maybe if guests show up tomorrow, you're going to move it. It sounds almost like a siyag. It's a very interesting thing. And it's striking because Ritva sounds like he's giving such a strong approach. Had to be bittul forever, sounds like it's because he holds that's the definition of bittul. Otherwise, it's not called karka. Ironically, the Ritva is... But because he took such a strong approach, ironically from a cheshbon standpoint, he needed what he do with the gemaras that indicate otherwise. His answer is no. The gemaras where temporary works is because it's locked into place al pidin. If it's locked in place al pidin, then temporary is fine. Why? Why is it if it's personal preference, then it has to be forever? But if it's halachically locked into place, then temporary is fine. He says because really you do need temporary. Fundamentally, I agree with Rashi. It's all a siyag. It's all a siyag. I need to know that you're really not going to move it. So normally the only way I can really be convinced you're not going to move it is because you made the decision to permanently leave it there. He says, but if al pidin you're not allowed to move it, so then we're comfortable assuming you're not going to move it. Because the halal, it's usur. If it's usur to move it temporarily, then we're comfortable assuming that temporarily you will not move it. But if it's mutter to move it, it's your choice, then the only choice that we would rely on is a choice, a permanent decision. You made a decision never to move it, that's fine. That's the only way it's going to... And then, let's close with one last point, and we'll head to, I want to be mindful of storm cell time also. I'm glad to take questions on the way. Is that later on, the Ritva addresses point number 3. On the next Amud, on Amud Chavtez, Ritva addresses point number 3 of Rashi, was what do you do? Remember that missing box that the Gemara never addressed? Afar, which sounds like a very, very strong case. It's dirt, and you plan on to move it, but you're not formal bittul. So Rav Yossi, for sure, that's great. How about the Chachamim? So Rashi had said, the Chachamim say, no, you need bittul b'peh. Boom. Bittul is bittul, and that's it. And the Chachamim demand bittul. There's no bittul and nothing doing. Right? The Ritva argues that that's not the case. Ritva thinks that Chacham Halacha L'Maisa. Ritva thinks that Afar Ve'ena Asad Lefanoso should be good enough, even according to the Chachamim. Why? 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 So Lechore, it links up with the other positions of the Ritva, because Rashi had said the difference between Bittul versus Ansvanoso is Bepeh. Somehow for Rashi, it must be spoken. Maybe because of Lishma or whatever it is, it must be spoken. It's a Rashi, Shidlacham is, it must be spoken. I don't care what it is. Bittul means Bepeh. It's a fundamental din. That you require Dibor. Doesn't matter if it's Afar or if it's Tefen or whatever. You need the pen. Isaac Roy never spoke about that case because we want to give the cases where Rabbi Yosi, show the Chiddush of Rabbi Yosi. But according to Ritva, there's no fundamental difference between Bittul and Asafanoso. As you saw in the previous Dibur, the difference is just a question. It's a strategic difference. How much do I need to know for sure that you plan to not, we really need to be certain that for the period of the mitzvah, you're not going to move it. That's why normally we want to know that Bittul Olam. That's what Bittul means for Ritva, just time frame. Right? So we already saw that he said, oh, so if it's Alpidin, you can't move it temporarily, that's good enough. Just if it's a question of personal preference. So then Ritva understandably takes that a step further. Says there could be other cases where temporary is good enough, like dirt. Because dirt is mamish a construction material. So he says, it's not that it's usher to move the dirt over the course of Chol HaMoed. But that's already so mistaber. Someone was asking that thing yesterday during Seder. For the Ritva, it's all a question of, oh, I think, Mayor, you asked me this morning after diving, right? For the Ritva, it's all a question of chances, of probabilities. Because for the Ritva, it's really a siyag. The requirement of bittul is not fundamental. The requirement of bittul means the olam, and the rationale, he told us, is I need to be certain that's going to stay there temporarily. So usually the only way to be certain it's going to stay there temporarily for as long as I need is that you plan to leave there permanently. But the exception could be, number one, if it's Asar Al Pidin, to move it temporarily, or if it's not just any item, but dirt. And you plan to leave it there temporarily. You plan to leave it for 7 days, and it's dirt. That's already a good bet. That's a safe bet. So for the Ritva, because again, and all the three issues end up being intertwined, because you're open to being, you require to be li'olam, that allows you to cut out the need for bepeh, which allows you to see bittul, meaning li'olam according to Ritva, as opposed to inol spanozo, for shibis me'achag, as being not a fundamental issue of a needs to be amira, but just a practical issue of how much do you have to have in place to be certain that it will stay there for 7 days. So normally you need his personal decision to leave there forever will allow me to assume that at least for 7 days it'll be there. Or it could be that's also to move it there for the period of time that we're looking at. Or that I plan to leave it there for 7 days and it's dirt. Which for the Ritva is a Lishitaso, is something that he's willing to accept as being even according to the Chachamim. There is more to see in the sugya, but I think this really wraps together a lot of the key pieces. And also, I strongly, strongly, strongly recommend you Chaz Ritva inside, because it's a golden opportunity, again, to appreciate the subtlety in the language and subtlety in the flow and the subtlety flow of ideas and the flow of terminology. It's a lot going on in this Ritva. The more you Chaz, the more you'll appreciate, and the more Chaz, the more you'll pick up those skills. We're going to head to the in a moment. As I mentioned yesterday, Mirchem, next week we're going to start moving through Dalam and Alpha Dalam Bays in the world of Mechitzos. There are a lot coming up, Rabbos.